If you have children, Children's Church, they're free to head up one of the aisles and follow the workers and head on to Children's Church. And appreciate each and every child and each and everyone that's here today. Breath of Heaven, I love that song. Well done. And think about the Holy Spirit and the role the Holy Spirit plays in our life. And we need the breath and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, we just came through Christmas, very special time of the year that we focus on the Son of God, the virgin birth, coming in the fullness of time, and when the Lord Jesus come and was born in a manger and came. But we also have the role of the Holy Spirit of God, and that during the church age today, we need His presence and His power and His breath and His leadership in our lives. And I love that song. Sarah, great to have you home. Now, if I got this correct, she went to Central Michigan University, did your undergraduate at Central Michigan. She's doing her graduate work at Cedarville, and you're going to be a physician's assistant? Am I correct? All right. And that's a lot of work. I couldn't imagine, but it seemed just like yesterday you were about this high. And just run around the halls here at the church. But anyway, pray for her. We love our kids that are here at the church and church family. Good to have you home, and good to have your friends, and always good to have mom here. Where's Colton at? Back here, buddy. What day do you leave? This coming Saturday. So today will be Colton's last day with us. He was home from the Marine Corps, and good to have you here. He's kind of loved the home-cooked meals that the family provides here. But anyway, pray for Colton as he heads back to the Marine Corps. He's in the service and down in North Carolina. So praise the Lord for our military. Thank God for everyone that serves and all of our military around the world. Just continue. And we're praying for you, buddy, when you go back. So he's in for about a 5-year, didn't you say 5 years? 5-year stretch in the Marine Corps. You got 1 year in? 1 year in, 4 to go. So pray for Colton as he heads back to the Marine Corps. In your Bibles today, in Ephesians chapter 5, this is the last service, as we said here, in the year 2025. My God has been good in so many ways, and we have so much to thank the Lord for and praise the Lord for, and His goodness and answer to prayer and His blessings along the way. This being a holiday week, and that there will not be a midweek service on Wednesday, and that is New Year's Eve, so we'll not have a Wednesday night service this week. But this week, be safe, be careful out there as you're coming and going. I think it's always that time of the year where you get ready to wrap up a year, get ready to go into a new year. I know a lot of people will do what they call New Year's resolutions and getting ready for a new year. I always kind of try to look at it not so much as New Year's resolutions, but I want to speak today on the topic of, rather than New Year's resolutions, on intentional living. Just on intentional, being intentional living. And we're going to take the text here from Ephesians chapter 5, because I really believe in the Bible that God is very intentional about what He gave to us. We find that the people in the Bible, the Lord Jesus, was very intentional. You remember in His life that when He was here and lived here on the earth, remember what He said? I must be about my Father's business. He was here to carry out God's will and God's plan. Yes, He came, born of a virgin, and lived a sinless life. But His mission while He was here was very intentional, was very on purpose, very focused, and that He was to come to this earth and to be born of a virgin, to live a sinless and perfect life, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then go on to Calvary where He would be crucified. We know that even then, as He went on, very intentionally knowing what was going to come, that He prayed, Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. He could see the humanity part of His virgin birth, only virgin birth ever recorded in history is that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He is man born of Mary, but conceived by seed of the Holy Spirit. And so we know that He prayed throughout His time that He always must be about His Father's business and doing His Father's will. And so He was very intentional what He did. We look at the apostles. We look at the Apostle Paul. And Paul wrote this text here in Ephesians 5. And he gives to you and I here the walk of a believer as a dear child of God. So today I pray that if you're here and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a believer in Christ, you're a follower of Christ, then these verses would apply to you and I as believers. So look what he says here in Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Paul said, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Notice the word "but" here in verse 3. "But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." Interesting how Paul starts this out here, that we're to walk in love, and some things that we're to avoid, things that as a believer in Christ, that as we walk and live our daily lives, we should avoid and stay away from. But he says in verse 5, "This ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light." You might highlight that verse in verse 8 in your Bible, or pay attention to it, that you and I as believers in Christ are to walk in the light of the Lord and walk as children of the light, because you have the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in you. In verse 9, "For the fruit of the Spirit here is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." And here's the text verse that I want to use today: "Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." Proving what is acceptable. We'll come back to that in a moment. Comparing, really, if you will, New Year's resolutions to intentional living. God puts it this way in verse 10, "Prove what is acceptable unto the Lord." And notice in verse 11, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, and rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done with them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So therefore, as believers of Christ, we know here that you and I, number one, are to understand what God's will and what his plan and what his purposes are. And there's a certain way that we should walk and live our Christian lives, things that we should try to avoid, and realizing that you and I today are walking as light in the world. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says that he came to be the light of the world. By you identifying with Christ, you might be some of the only light that others will see is Christ living in and through you. You know, when you think about New Year's resolutions, it's really the act or the process of resolving something or breaking it up into constituent parts. It's determining or deciding a resolute quality of mind, or to analyze or change or transform or cause a person to decide to reach a decision, or to be, if you will, intentional. And I don't know. I don't put a lot of weight in every year making New Year's resolutions, from the standpoint that many times the New Year's resolutions that are made are easily and quickly broken before 30 days even goes past. But I think the Bible does teach about being intentional in our Christian living. You know, it's interesting. The ancient Babylonians, they made promises to their gods at the start of each year that they would return borrowed objects and pay their debts. We know the Romans, under the Roman Empire in Bible days, began each year by making promises to the god of Janus, for whom the month of January is named. So I don't put a lot into it, because history has recorded, the Babylonians have recorded, the Romans have recorded, and even recorded today in society, many will make New Year's resolutions only to find 30 days later they've already fallen off and they're not materializing or not following through with it. We find that even in the medieval era, the knights took the peacock vow at the end of the Christmas season each year to reaffirm their commitment to chivalry. We know at watch night services, many times Christians will prepare for the year ahead by praying and then making resolutions along the way. We know you look at Judaism, during Judaism's New Year, the Rosh Hashanah says through the high holiday and the culminating in Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, one is to reflect upon one's wrongdoings over the year and then seek and then to offer forgiveness. So people may act similarly during the Catholic fasting period of Lent. And though the motive behind the holiday is more of a sacrifice and a responsibility, in the fact the practice of New Year's resolutions partially came from those Lenten sacrifices. So when you think about the concept, regardless of the creed, is to reflect upon self-improvement annually. When you think about it, you and I, as we come to the end of the year, think about the walk of the believer here. Think about your life and what you've lived in the year of 2025. And say, well, what can I do different, or what can I do better? How can I go on for the Lord? How can I be stronger in the Lord? How can I grow in the Lord Jesus Christ? How can I be intentional in what I'm doing and living for the Lord? We know that, it was interesting. I was looking back in some history, and at the end of the Great Depression, about 25% of the adults formed New Year's resolutions. And, and I made a list. I sat down, I started thinking about some of the things I've heard over the years about people making New Year's resolutions. And here's some of them that I thought I'd ever come across. That I want to improve my physical well-being, or I want to think positive, or I want to laugh more or enjoy life more. Maybe it's to improve your finances. Maybe it's to get out of debt. Maybe it's to save more money next year than you did this year. Maybe it's to improve your career, do a better job, improve your education, learn something new. This year I might resolve to try to maybe read more, improve myself, be more organized, reduce stress, manage my time better. I'm going to resolve to take a trip, volunteer. I might even resolve to try to get along better with people. Make new friends, spend quality time with family, pray more, be closer to God, be more spiritual, take up a sport, get in shape. The success rate of such things, when I look back at a study that was done, are those at 88% who set New Year's resolutions fail. You're almost doomed from the start. And men succeeded 22% of the time if they set goals. Women succeeded 10% if they made the goals public and then get the support from their friends. Look, if you will, this in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 10. Here's what Paul said. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Finding out is proving, carries the idea of testing, or proving to learn by clear and convincing evidence what is truly honoring to God. And the point is this, that as believers we're to walk in the light of the truth. And the Bible talks about here in the light of the truth, the knowledge of the Lord's will becomes clear. And Paul teaches us that we're presenting ourselves unto the Lord as a living sacrifice to God, that we can know what his acceptable will is. Hold your place here and go back to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And so here he tells us in Ephesians that prove what is that is acceptable unto the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. To the believer, he says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, and here it is now, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if you take what Paul is teaching over in Ephesians chapter 5, and you take what Paul is teaching in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 12, 2 here, that he's teaching to believers that we present ourselves to the Lord, that we are a living sacrifice unto him, that we put him first and desire to live a life that would be holy and acceptable. And I think when it says there are reasonable service, it's kind of like that's the least we could do. For all that he did for you and I, the least we could try to do is to live to the best of our ability. And I like how he words this here in verse 2. Don't be conformed to this world, pay attention to what goes on. I think if you're not careful, so many times things of the world, ideas of the world, philosophy of the world can creep into the church, can creep into the believer's life. And here the instructions are to be separate from that. Don't be conformed to the world. You need to think differently. You need to walk differently. You need to act differently. And here, and notice that he says here, being Paul said, transformed by the renewing of your mind. So when it comes from biblically to have a renewed mind in Christ means we need to make some mental decisions. This is a good time of the year to analyze that. You need to give it some serious thought. How was your life as a Christian in 2025? How is it going to be as you conform to the image of Christ? How's it going to be in 2026? The point is this, that as believers we're to walk in the light of the truth and the knowledge of the Lord's will becomes clear. And Paul teaches us that by presenting ourselves unto the Lord as a living sacrifice to God, that we can then know what His acceptable will is to be in our lives. So today, you and I need to present ourselves unto the Lord. And so what I began to do is I listed down, let me share these with you today, I think five key areas that we should be intentional. Now, you could have a long list here, but I just kind of narrowed down. I thought the five that I would focus on or be important to me and think about that. But you might want to pray and expand your list or come up with a different list. And that is areas that we should be intentional. I'm not talking about making a New Year's resolution that this week, you know, that how many times we've gone through the new year, going out with the old year, and new year coming in. And you're going to say, I'm going to do things different. I'm going to do things better. I'm going to change. But I want to focus on just five things today that we want to be intentional about. Here's number one that I would list it is our faith. Our faith. Simply our faith. And to know that you're saved, number one, and to know that you have an assurance of that salvation. And then to realize that as you become intentional about your faith, you're going to have to nourish that. You're going to have to walk in the Lord. You're going to have to help that faith to grow. You should not be the same person. You know, one of the benefits that I have as a pastor is to be able to see, especially those that year after year after year after year in the Lord's work, and to watch people grow in their faith. Some choose to remain just stagnant and stay right where they're at. Some choose to grow in their faith. Some have gone through some life-changing experiences or circumstances in your life that have impacted you along the way, that have helped your faith to be able to grow. And you say, well, what is faith? Let me show you something. Go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 17 while you're there in Romans. The number one, faith is such an integral part of our lives as Christians. And when you think about faith, you know, we are saved at some point, we as Christians, and, excuse me, I said chapter 5, it's chapter 10, if that's the one I want. Yeah, go to chapter 10, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. And that when you think about faith, Paul gave us a definition of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that's found over in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. Faith is something that you and I, the day we get saved, we've never seen Jesus Christ in person. So by faith, we have to accept Him. We have to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We have to believe in Him for eternal life. It's a step of faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen in our life. But faith is something that's such an integral part of our life. Romans 10, here's what Paul said in the 10th chapter here. So then faith cometh by hearing, and then hearing by the word of God. So I think the first thing we ought to be intentional about is our faith. Number one, saving faith. That you're saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you come to Him. And then we find that we ought to live by faith circumspectly, day by day, growing in Christ. And that's really what he talked about here in the life of the believer. The stronger your faith comes, the stronger your faith grows, the stronger you're in the Word of God, then you'll identify with Christ. There will be things that will be absent from your life, and that you will then grow, and that light here, you will walk then as children of the light. So we find here that not only then do we walk by faith, but one of these days as we live by faith, we also shall die by faith. You know, it's I shared at the Christmas Eve service that my sister just recently went home to be with the Lord, and that was last Tuesday night. And I knew she wasn't doing well, so I thought, you know, I better get down there to Kentucky and see her, spend a little bit of time with her. And so I did that a couple weeks before Thanksgiving. I drove down, about an eight-hour drive, down to Albany, Kentucky. And so I sat there, and one of the things that that I did, I went to her home. She's in a hospital bed in the master bedroom in her home. So I stayed for about 3 days. I just stayed at a motel so I didn't interfere with her medical care and care that was going on in the home. And but she had a recliner chair sitting there beside her bed. So for 3 days, I would show up there about 11, 11:30 or whatever, and I would spend a couple hours just sitting in the recliner chair, and her and I had a chance to talk about, you know, brother and sister growing up, and just life in general, things that we experienced along the way. And in our family, the day that our family was introduced to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to get saved, it was my sister that responded first and got saved first. As a matter of fact, she got on a bus route, came down our street, knocked on our door, got my sister to church, and she got saved. And lo and behold, that next Saturday, the pastor showed up at our doorstep, knocked on the door. I was working. I was a little bit older than her. And then I was working. I was not there, and my mom and dad was there. And so the pastor stopped by and said, "Hey, Sandy came to church, and she got saved and opened her heart and trusted Christ as her Savior." And so the pastor sat there in our home and began to share the gospel with my mother and my father. And guess what? They got saved. So then I come home from work on that Saturday, and my dad says to me, he says, "Hey, Rick, you never believe who showed up at the house today." I said, "Who?" And he said, "The pastor at the Mansfield Baptist Temple showed up here." And I said, "Well, what did he want?" He said, "Well, he came by to let us know that your sister got saved last week at the church. And not only that, but while he was here today, he led your mom and I to Christ, and we got saved today." So we're going to church. Now, we had not been going to church. So we're going to church tomorrow. I was 16 years old at the time. He said, "We're going to church tomorrow, and we would like for you to go with us." And I said, "Well, do I have to?" And he said, "No, you don't have to." He said, "I really want you to." So that meant I had to. And so I said, "All right." So anyway, when I walked in, it was a big sanctuary, a lot of people there that day. And, you know, if you haven't been going to church, and if you're not used to going to church, I don't know, I just wanted to slide in the door, sit at the back, just, you know, not, you know, get and just take it all in. No, not my family. They come in, and they walked all the way down here about where Steve's at on the third row. And so I thought, okay, well, I'll slide in. And oh, they went in, and so they made me sit on the end. So it was my sister, my mom, my dad, and myself. I heard that morning the gospel for the first time, and what it meant to be saved, and what it meant to be a Christian, what it meant to put your belief and faith and the trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I at the invitation, my dad had told me, he said, "Now when they give the invitation today," he said, "your mom and I and Sandy are going to go forward and make a public profession of our faith." And I said, "Okay." And so I thought, well, I'll just sit here and let them go do that. And I sat and listened to the gospel, and the gospel at that time, I came under conviction. And when they gave the invitation that day, I said, "You know what? I'm not saved. My sister got saved. My mom and dad got saved. I need to get saved." So I stepped out of the aisle and come down. The youth pastor met me down here, and I kneeled and trusted Christ. That began the first element, or the first step of my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I'll never forget in that church, shortly that first week after getting saved in my faith in Christ, one of my dad's brothers went to that church, and his wife, my Uncle Carl, my Aunt Jean, and their three daughters. Matter of fact, one of the girls might be listening by live stream down in Ohio today. But anyway, my Uncle Carl, he was a recovering alcoholic. Drank like crazy. He worked a job at a trucking transport company there in Mansfield, Ohio. And so what he ended up doing, he'd oftentimes go to the bar before he'd come home. You'd go to his house. There were just lines of liquor downstairs stacked up on the wall. Go to the kitchen sink. Underneath the kitchen sink was all kinds of hard liquor there, whatever. And that, I did not know it, but he got saved just shortly before that. Cleaned out all the liquor of his house, threw it all away, cleaned out the kitchen, cleaned out the basement, started going to church because he got saved. And faith entered into his life. And he came up to me my dad's brother and said, Rick, now that you're saved, I want to be the one to give you your first Bible as a new believer in Christ. And that was a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, and I began to grow in faith in Christ. So when you think about faith, it is so vitally important to know that you're saved and that you have the assurance of your salvation, to know that your faith is so strong. So my sister and I, when I sat there before Thanksgiving, we talked about her faith, talked about my faith, talked about, remember the day you got saved? Remember what you did to our family? My mom and dad got saved, and I got saved, and all that. And we talked about a lot of those things. But little did I know, I left Kentucky that day. I knew she was in bad shape, but what I didn't know is how long before the Lord would take her home. So I'm glad that I did that. And then also, the day that my niece called me, she said, Uncle Rick, she says, if you want to see Sandy, you better come quick. I said, well, where's she at? And they said they're airlifting her, flight lifting her from Albany, Kentucky to the University of Kentucky hospitals. She may not make it. You need to come. Well, it's eight hours for me to get there. And I told Tiana, I said, you know, I told her this later on. I said, you know what? Everything we said that day. Everything that we talked about that day, we got our last conversation in, our last thing about, hey, you know, in case I don't see you again, I'll see you in heaven. And that's where she's at today. Faith is so vitally important when it comes down to that day when you're ready to take your last breath, when you're ready and you're not sure what life is going to hold for you. You need to make sure you have a faith that is anchored in Christ and has prepared you for life and prepared you for death and prepared you for eternity. Because the Bible simply says, Jesus teaches, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So how strong is your faith? You're saved by faith, you live by faith, you walk by faith, you serve by faith, and one of these days we all will die by faith. So I think one of the things we need to be intentional about is take care of your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Grow your faith this year coming up in 2026. Here's the second thing I think we ought to be intentional about, and that is relationships. Think about relationships. You cannot be all things to all people. You got to take care, and you think about relationships. Take care of yourself, number one. Take care of your husband or your wife. Take care of your parent or your child. Or it may be an employer-employee relationship or a business or in the church. You're going to have to figure out what's the most important to you, and you're going to have to prioritize those relationships and then nurture those relationships along the way. The most important relationship you're ever going to have is with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what being saved, and that's what your faith is all about, having a relationship with Him. You know, and I'll share this with you, that I shared it with Sunday school a little bit earlier, that that I remember when I was probably 11 or 12, my grandfather passed away. And it was my dad's father, and we're at the funeral home, and then we go to the cemetery, and we're there doing the committal and that. And I'll never forget that day that my dad was one boy out of six, and they had two girls, so they had eight children in the family. And there my dad's younger brother, Doyle was his name, he got up to go before the casket and he just crumbled. Like the casket was down here, my Uncle Doyle just fell on his father's casket. I'm sitting right back here, I'm watching this unfold. Fell on his father's casket, weeping and crying and just pouring his heart out. And he's saying, and he's mumbling these words, and we couldn't figure it out. And then finally we could figure it out. He's saying, I never told him I loved him. I never told him I loved him. I never told him that I loved him. What he was saying there, his dad was laying right there in that casket, and he never told, never that, in that relationship that he didn't nurture that relationship. You know, it's really a sad scenario because my grandfather, during that time, my grandmother passed away. My grandfather was left on the farm with eight children, had his hands full, and my grandfather fell off the bandwagon and just didn't live a godly life. When my grandmother was here, he did. When she passed and went to heaven, so the boys, my Uncle Doyle right there, had a strained relationship with his father. So when you think about relationships today, start with those that are the most important to you and nurture those and care for those and take care of those and be intentional about what you're doing in life along the way. So I'd say our faith is number one, our relationships is number two, and number three would simply be this, is your health. take care of your health. And by that meaning, the Bible simply says that in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Holy Spirit of God dwelleth in you. We are, when you and I are saved and we have faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit lives within us. And so to realize that the body that you live in, you need to take care of it to the best of your ability and do everything that you can along the way. I felt so bad for my sister because she inherited a lot of health issues, but I think also too, her and I would debate about that. There's things she could have done different, that she could have taken better care of herself in the journey of life. Got ready to come down to the end. Her heart was bad. She had an aneurysm in her stomach. Circulation in her legs was gone. When they air flighted her to Lexington, one leg had already started to turn black and discoloration in that. And only about 5% of the blood flow from the legs was coming back to the heart. She was in bad shape. And her and I would talk about, down through the years or whatever. So you got one shot at this. Take care of your health and to realize that you ought not to abuse it in whatever you can and do the very best that you can. That within you lives the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. So I put health as number three to be intentional on. Number four I would put is to be intentional about finances. Have a plan and work the plan. Have a plan and work the plan. Be intentional about finances. And I've often thought this, and I've often said this along the way, there's nothing worse that can be than financial stress. And that gets a lot of people in trouble along the way. Be intentional about money. Do you know, and if you will, if you think about it in the Bible, and maybe I'll get to some sermons on that in the year of 2026, that Jesus, God taught so much more about money than he did a lot of other things in the Bible. Maybe I'll take a sermon series on that, what the Bible teaches about money. But I want you to think about this, about money. Where do you go to learn about money and how to handle it? Do you learn it from mom and dad? If you do, you're blessed. Do you learn it from grandpa and grandma? If you did, you're blessed. Maybe you specialize or went to school and learned about it, or maybe you just have the disciplines yourself to be able to handle money and to handle it well. But it's such an integral part of all of our lives, money and how it relates. And the Bible has much to say about finances. So I'd be intentional about finances. And then number five, I would put down work or career, or by that meaning that what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to invest your time in? What are you going to do with find something that you enjoy and find something that you enjoy doing. If you do, you never work a day of your life. You absolutely will enjoy what God has given to you along the way. Find your passion in life. So many times I run into people that they complain or they don't like this about their job or this about their career. Well, then find something that you like. Find your passion, whatever it is, and it'll be the joy of your life. And you think about that and find something you enjoy and do. Don't let life grab you along the way. I had a friend of mine, a pastor friend, that used to say that. Don't let life woulda, coulda, shoulda along the way. Don't have the regrets. Don't look back. You got one shot at this. So what does he say here in Ephesians? Number one, look at it here in verse one. Be followers of God as you make intentional decisions going into the new year of 2026. Secondly, in verse 2, you notice that he talks about walk in love. So not only be followers of God, but then walk in love. Christ loved us. Christ gave himself for us. Christ sacrificed himself to God for us. So therefore, we ought to walk in love because God is love. And the world needs more of God. I don't know about you, but one of the things that was really a tragedy, but in a way could be a blessing this year, was the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And I have followed Charlie Kirk probably for 10 years and has done a great job over the years in that. But out of that tragedy, there may be more good that'll be a springboard to good that will reach out and impact younger people and younger generations in our world and our society. I don't know about you, but when that happened, it was such a tragedy. And I'm praying, God, give us 10,000 more Charlie Kirks in the world. Did a lot of good things along the way. And was able to walk into the hornet's nest, to be able to walk in, to be able to debate, to be able to take on the evils of the world, whatever the challenges were, face to face, and to deal with the issues from a biblical, from a scriptural standpoint. Did a lot of good things on college campuses around these United States. So walk in love. Things to avoid, he says here in verse 3 to verse 7, avoid fornication. That's sexual sins of the flesh. Avoid uncleanness. That's sins of greed. Avoid covetousness. And, you know, that made the Ten Commandments. That's part of the Ten Commandments over in Exodus chapter 20. It says here to avoid filthiness. That's the sins of the tongue. Foolish talking, sins of the tongue. Jesting, sins of the tongue. And so, but giving thanks to realize here, be not deceived by vain words. And then you notice he says in verse 8 here that we are to be transformed. In other words, you used to be like this, but now you're changed. You know, whoever you are, wherever you come from, every once in a while, down through the years, I've witnessed to somebody that said, "Oh, Pastor, I don't know if I could get saved. You don't know what I've done or where I've been, or you don't know my background, or you don't know what's happened in my life." I said, "I don't need to know. But I do know this, God is a forgiving God, and God is a loving God, and whatever your background, there's no sin too great, no wickedness too bad that God is not willing to forgive." And so be transformed. And we find here that you used to be like that, but you're no longer. You're a changed person. I'll tell you what, when you get saved, when you have that faith, it changes you from the inside out, and God does a work in your heart and in your life. So be transformed. You used to be in darkness. The Bible says here in Ephesians 5, now you're in light. So walk as children of the light. Be intentional about doing so. And then the fruit of the Spirit, which is goodness and righteousness and truth, he talks about here. These are produced as we walk as children of the light. When we have a moral excellence of the heart, when we have the righteous behavior, when we have truthfulness and honesty and integrity. So he says here in verse 10, which is our text verse, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 11, don't have fellowship with darkness. Christ will give you that light. Walk you know what that means in verse 15, to walk circumspectly? It means don't be foolish. Don't be foolish in your walk. Don't be foolish in that. And then to redeem the time, because we are living in evil days. Be not, he says, unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. So you think about those five things. I think about faith and how important that is. Today, if you're not saved, you ought to be saved. You ought to trust the Lord as you're saved. But ask yourself this. Do you have a growing faith? What are you going to do with your faith this year? How are you going to move forward this year? What are you going to do different in 2026 that you didn't do in 2025 to help your faith grow in Christ? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Some people will only open their Bible when they go to church on Sunday, and then they'll set it aside, not open it up again till the next Sunday. And many times people don't even do that. And the Bible is literally the Word of the living God that can change us to know our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Relationships. I would simply ask you today, what are the most important relationships to you? That I would focus in 2026 on nurturing that relationship. Your health. You know, it's always a prayer. It's always a challenge. And we pray for people in our congregation all the time, people that are having health issues. You got one life to live. You got one body that God has given to you and I. We're to take care of it to the best of our ability. That living within us is the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible simply teaches us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And there are challenges in this journey of life that we're on. Finances, be intentional. Work, find something you enjoy doing, and you'll have a passion about it, and God will bless and guide and direct. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, today, God, we love you today. Help us to be intentional about our decision, first of all, to be saved. And then intentional in our faith that we're not going to be satisfied where we're at, but we're going to want to grow in Christ. We're going to want to push the envelope. We're going to want to learn more about you. We're going to want to be able to continue to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be the light of the world. And then, Father, we also pray today in our relationships. May we start today in 2026 with our relationship with you. God, may we strengthen that relationship. May the intimate relationship between us and you grow stronger this year than it ever has been before. May we walk with you and talk with you and fellowship with you and pour our hearts out to you. God, may we be intentional about developing a closer, personal, intimate, close relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit this year in 2026. Our health, God help us to be the best that we can be day by day. And these bodies that are decaying, and these bodies that struggle, and these bodies that are weak, God help us day by day to be the best vessel that we can be to bring honor and glory to you. God help us to be wise in our finances. Help us to be frugal and good at what you have bestowed upon us as stewards, that everything that we have, God, you have blessed us with. Put it into our hands, so may we be found faithful in our stewardship. And God, may we work until Jesus comes. May we find that which we enjoy doing and do it with all of our heart in serving you. God, help us to be intentional in 2026.